Lahore, 20th March 1937. My dear Mr. Jinnah, I hope you have read Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru's address to the All India National Convention and that you fully realize the policy underlying it insofar as Indian Muslims are concerned. I believe you're also aware that the new constitution has at least brought a unique opportunity for Indian Muslims for self-organization in view of the future political developments both in India and Muslim Asia. While we are ready to cooperate with the progressive parties in the country, we must not ignore the fact that the future of Islam as a moral and political force in Asia rests very largely on a complete organization of Indian Muslims. I therefore suggest that an effective reply should be given to All India National Convention. You should immediately hold an All India Muslim Convention in Delhi, to which you should invite members of the new provincial assemblies as well as other prominent Muslim leaders. To this convention, you must restate as clearly and as strongly as possible the political objective of the Indian Muslims as a distinct political unit in the country. It is absolutely necessary to tell the world both inside and outside India that the economic problem is not the only problem in the country. From the Muslims' point of view, the cultural problem is of much greater consequence to most Indian Muslims. At any rate, it is not less important than the economic problem. If you could hold this convention, it would test the credentials of those Muslim legislators who have formed parties contrary to the aims and aspirations of Indian Muslims. It would further make it clear to the Hindus that no political device, however subtle, can make the Indian Muslim lose sight of his cultural entity. I'm coming to Delhi in a few days' time and hope to have a talk with you on this important matter. I shall be staying in the Afghan consulate. If you could spare me a few moments, we should meet there. Please drop a line and reply to this letter as early as possible. Yours sincerely, Muhammad Iqbal, Bharat Lahore.
Declarations Operations, NATO Pakistan, London Lodge 2010. The project is supported by Arts Council England.
For Iqbal, fine arts are just as important as a more serious and productive branch of human skill and endeavour. He regards artists to be the teachers of humanity who possess the ability to bring about a apostolic revolution. Iqbal is opposed to the use of aesthetic abilities of petty gain and cheap entertainment, and instead would like to see them brought into play for the growth and development of the ego. Instead of getting involved with the external phenomena and immediate object of perception, painting, music and sculpture to try and capture man's inner richness, art and learning, faith and wisdom ought to arouse and involve the latent potentialities of the human personality. Iqbal rejects the idea of a closed and predetermined universe, and the sign of a decadent belief of literature, according to him, is that it gets divorced from reality and shuts its eyes to the hard facts of life. Iqbal is not intolerant of fine arts. He does not question in their usefulness, but gives them the proper place. He sincerely appreciates the creativity of artists, but with the difference that the poetry, literature and philosophy take precedence in his judgment over music, sculpture and architecture because they have their roots in thought and intellect. Just as Iqbal has his own word of using terms like ilm il-ishq, reason and love, al-dil, mind and heart, barak ul-qudi, contentment and ego, khandari ul-shahini, detachment and falconism, in the same manner that his janoon, frenzy, is not without understanding and judgment. He employs it to indicate the ecstasy of love and the earnestness of the heart. It signifies a fulfillment and exaltation which works, wonders, and causes supernatural deeds to happen. Janoon in Iqbal's phraseology means attainment of the most complete state of coordination and harmony between body and spirit for a particular purpose.
اپنے وطن کا آج بدلنے لگا نظام اپنے وطن کا آج بدلنے لگا نظام اپنے وطن میں آج نہیں ہے کوئی غلام اپنا وطن ہے راہ ترقی پہ تیز گام آزاد با مراد جواں بخت شاد کام اب عطر بیز ہیں جو ہوائیں تھی زہرناک اے سرزمین پاک जर्रे तेरे हैं आज सितारों से ताबनाक, रोशन है कहकशां से कहीं आज तेरी खाक, ऐ सरजमीन पाक।
Allahabad session 1930, demand for a creation of new state, Sir Muhammad Iqbal's warning to the All India Muslim League. 9G, how shall we then remedy these two evils? The remedy of the first evil is not in our hands. As to the second evil, I think it is possible to discover a remedy. I've got definite views on the subject, but I think it is proper to postpone their expression till the apprehended situation actually arises. In case it does arise, leading Muslim of all shades of opinion will have to meet together, not to pass resolutions, but finally to determine the Muslim attitude and to show the path to tangible achievement. In this address, I mention this alternative only because I wish that you may keep in mind and give some serious thought to it in the meantime.
अपने वतन का आज बदलने लगा निज़ाम, अपने वतन का आज बदलने लगा निज़ाम, अपने वतन में आज नहीं है कोई गुलाम, अपना वतन है राह तरक्की पे तेज गाम, आज़ाद बामुराद जमा बख्त शाद काम, अब अत्र बेज हैं जो हवाएं थी जहरनाक, ऐ सरजमीन पाक जर्रे तेरे हैं आज सितारों से ताबनाक, रोशन है कहकशां से कहीं आज तेरी खाक, ऐ सरजमीन पाक।
कॉन्फिडेंशियल, लाहौर, 28 May 1937। माय डियर मिस्टर जिना, थैंक यू सो मच फॉर योर लेटर व्हिच रीच्ड मी इन ड्यू कोर्स। I am glad to hear that you will bear in mind what I wrote to you about the changes in the constitution and program of the League. I have no doubt that you fully realize the gravity of the situation as far as Muslim India is concerned. The League will have to finally decide whether it will remain a body representing the upper classes of Indian Muslims or Muslim masses who have so far, with good reason, taken no interest in it. Personally, I believe that a political organization which gives no promise of improving the lot of average Muslim cannot attract our masses. Under the new constitution, the higher posts go to the sons of upper classes, the smaller ones go to the friends or relatives of the ministers. In other matters too, our political institution have never thought of improving the lot of Muslims generally. The problem of bread is becoming more and more acute. The Muslim has begun to feel that he has been going down and down during the last 200 years. Ordinarily, he believes that his poverty is due to Hindu money lending or capitalism. The perception that it is equally due to foreign rule has not yet fully come to him. But it is bound to come. The atheistic socialism of Jawaharlal is not likely to receive much response from the Muslims. The question, therefore, is, how is it possible to solve the problem of Muslim poverty? And the whole future of the League depends on the League's activity to solve this question. If the League can give no such promises, I am sure that the Muslim masses will remain indifferent to it as before. Happily, there is a solution in the enforcement of law of Islam and its further development in the light of modern ideas. After a long and careful study of Islamic law, I've come to the conclusion that if this system of law is properly understood and applied, at last the right to subsistence is secured to everybody. But the enforcement and development of the Shariat of Islam is impossible in this country without a free Muslim state or states. This has been my honest conviction for many years, and I still believe this to be the only way to solve the problem of bread for Muslims as well as to secure a peaceful India. If such a thing is impossible in India, the only other alternative is a civil war, which, as a matter of fact, has been going on for some time in the shape of Hindu-Muslim riots. I feel that in certain parts of the country, example Northwest India, Palestine may be repeated. Also, the insertion of Jawaharlal's socialism into the body politics of Hinduism is likely to cause much bloodshed among the Hindus themselves. As I've said above, in order to make it possible for Muslim India to solve the problems, it is necessary to redistribute the country and to provide one or more Muslim states with absolute majorities. Don't you think that the time for such a demand has already arrived? Perhaps this is the best reply you can give to the atheistic socialism of Jawaharlal Nehru. Anyhow, I have given you my own thoughts in hope that you will give them serious consideration, either in your address or in the discussion of the coming session of the League. Muslim India hopes that at this serious juncture, your genius will discover some way out of our present difficulties. Yours sincerely, Muhammad Iqbal.
To avoid from instilling in our existence remnants of today, there is a notion to outlive the present by erasing it altogether. This is a reaction to today's relentless behavior. Today is not popular today and never has been. Its oblivion emblems its vanity. Today is pregnant with nasty political talk shows, high-priced sugar, expensive petrol, so-called religious extremes, mediocre education, if at all, unemployment, etc. Rational solutions to eradicate such problems of juvenile delinquent today come along only after a deep, rested sleep. This sleep of ignorance will teach today a lesson. It will stop whining and fix itself. No one will be there to vote in the elections of today, and no one will be there to document its glorified failure. It will then rise to the occasion and metamorphose into a bright future. When we wake up, we'll find an altered future and the same old today, dead.
اپنے وطن کا آج بدلنے لگا نظام اپنے وطن کا آج بدلنے لگا نظام اپنے وطن میں آج نہیں ہے کوئی غلام اپنا وطن ہے راہ ترقی پہ تیز گام آزاد با مراد جمع بخت شاد کام اب عطر بیز ہیں جو ہوائیں تھی زہرناک اے سرزمین پاک ذرے تیرے ہیں آج ستاروں سے تابناک. روشن ہے کہکشاں سے کہیں آج تیری خاک اے سرزمین پاک.